Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
Let's get into the Word of God, and we're going to stand to read the Word. Come on, across all campuses, you stand with me. Acts chapter 9. I'm going to take you to the most exciting book in the Bible. I'm not meant to have favorites, but the book of Acts will be up there, I reckon. Acts chapter 9, and it's the account of the spectacular conversion to Christianity of a man by the name of Saul, who then later on became the Apostle Paul. It says this: meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. It immediately gives you the context as the kind of man this guy was before he came to faith. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly, a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus." "Wow. I am Jesus whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city and you'll be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. So spectacular, the way Jesus revealed himself to Saul. Can we give God a big shout of praise for that? Grab your seat across all campuses. Like I said before, this is such a spectacular account. We happen upon this man by the name of Saul. He was essentially a persecutor of the church. He was a Christian killer. He hunted down people of the way, which is the group of people that they called, the early Christians were known as the way, because, you know, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, right? So he hunted them down. He wanted to eradicate them. He represented the Roman Empire. And his whole entire job was to ensure that Christians were wiped, that they were completely eradicated like vermin. This was a bad dude, right? And if you were to look at the early life of Paul, it's easy for us to say, oh man, Paul, he was so dark. His soul was so dark. He really needed to find Jesus. Come on. He really needed to experience the love of God. And thank God that Jesus revealed himself to Saul, who then later became Paul. And we see that, you know, Jesus comes and Saul was blinded by the light. He was knocked off his feet. Jesus revealed himself to him. And suddenly this dark heart that was in Saul was converted. He was saved out of darkness and literally into light. Praise God for that. And be so easy for us to look at Saul's life. And in fact, in many ways, the book of Acts, if you read it, it kind of fast forwards it all the way to when he changes his name to Paul. And we all know that, you know, he writes these amazing letters to the church in Thessalonica and Corinth and Galatia and Ephesus. And, you know, he writes probably 2/3 of the New Testament. We see Paul as this amazing guy who came from Saul, Christian killer, persecutor of the church, and bang, you know, and it'd be so easy for us to just go, thank God he was saved out of darkness and potentially, you know, destined for a life that was so separated from God that now he's obviously full of God, and we could all celebrate that. But for me, the question is, we know what Saul was saved from, but what was Saul saved for? I know for my own life, I'm so grateful that the Lord came into my heart and saved me from really generations of Buddhism in our family line. Saved me from a life of lack of identity and confusion and turmoil, and literally saved me from hell. I know that that's what God saved me from, but until I could answer the question, what did God save me for? That suddenly my life changed. And so today I want to talk to you on the thought, saved for purpose. Because Jesus doesn't just save us from hell, he saves us for purpose. He doesn't just save us from the life we used to have, he saves us for the life that we're going to live. When you realize that you're saved for more than just heaven, it actually changes how you live here on earth. It actually changes your behavior, it changes your framework, it changes how you live, and suddenly it determines what satisfies your life and what doesn't. When you understand that you are saved for more than just an eternity in hell, that you are saved for purpose here on earth, it actually determines what your discontented framework looks like. it determines already what you ought to live for, and suddenly your whole life changes. The things that you thought that you ought to be doing just to get by and just to live, suddenly they take on a different color. I want to say this to you today. Jesus didn't just save Saul to change his eternal destiny. Jesus saved Saul to change his earthly activity. Think about that statement for a moment, that he went from church persecutor, Christian killer, to become a church builder. He went from arresting Christian leaders to raising up Christian leaders. When you understand that you are saved for more than just escaping hell, it changes the way that you live here on earth. Some of you might be thinking, well, I'm not the Apostle Paul, am I? No, but you're you. God saved you for so much more than just to escape hell. He saved you for purpose here on earth. You got to understand that your life here on earth matters. How do we know this? Because the first conversation that God has with humanity, when Adam and Eve had breath breathed into them when they first stood up, and the first conversation that God has with them was not about how they're feeling, what they want to eat, what holiday they wanted to go on, whether we should, you know, obviously, should we go camping here in Busselton or should we go camping up north? That's what us Christians here in Perth talk about. But the first conversation that God has with humanity was about purpose. He looks them both in the eye and says, you were created in my image. Now go forth, multiply, have dominion on the earth. Every creeping thing, the birds that fly, the fish in the sea. Come on, you have dominion. Start to take charge of your life and live with purpose. And the first conversation that Jesus now has with Saul, as soon as Saul was converted, blinded by the light, Jesus reveals himself to Saul, I am he. The first conversation that Jesus hath with Saul was not, Saul, what do you want to do for lunch? What holiday do you want to have? He says this to him, now get up. I know you're blinded by the light and you're knocked off your feet. Now get up, go into the city, and you will be told what you must do next. The first thing that Jesus said to Saul was to have a conversation with him about purpose. And I want to give this nugget of truth to you today, wherever you're watching this, is that purpose and salvation cannot be separated from each other. Purpose and salvation cannot be separated from each other. To be saved, but to not live your life for a higher purpose, at best, you'll just be religious. To be saved but not live your life for a higher purpose will make you the kind of Christian that will complain about the Milo. Make you complain about the sound volume and make you complain about the color of the carpets. Because you're saved and but you're discontented. You're not living for anything higher, so you start squabbling over small things. It'll make you religious. To live for a higher purpose but not acknowledge Jesus, at best it'll make you an activist. Well, you're really frustrated. You know that the world is broken, but you deny the solution to fix that brokenness. And neither religion nor activism has ever changed the world. However, when believers awaken to the fact that we are saved for purpose, the grace of God rides in on your life. Come on, I need a resounding amen from you. Things start to happen when every believer begins to rise up and believe that they are saved for purpose. You know, the reason I reckon for so many of us, where we understand that our faith journey is to walk with Jesus and we stay loving Jesus, but we don't necessarily step into our purpose, is because God can often give us the what of our purpose. But have you noticed that he really gives you the how or the when? How many of you have experienced that? That God actually gives you the what, for like you're at an altar call and God touches your life, or you read something, you get a sense of what God has purposed you for on the earth. But then he doesn't tell you about the how or the when. You don't know when that's going to unfold. You don't know how that's going to unfold. Think about David in the Bible, right? At 17 years old, the prophet shows up into his living room, anoints him with oil to be king. Awesome. But God doesn't tell him how it's going to unfold. I can tell you now, when he goes back to the pasture to play with sheep, he'd be wondering, how is this ever going to unfold, right? When he's playing his harp for the king, and then the king throws a spear that barely misses his head. When he's chased like an animal in caves because this king was so jealous of him. He'd be wondering, God, when is this ever going to unfold? Think about Joseph. When we're introduced to Joseph at 17 years old, he has dreams of being significant. But I can tell you now, when he was in the pit, when his brother sold him out to slavery, he'd have been wondering, how is this ever going to unfold? When is my purpose going to unfold? When he was then sold into slavery and then accused of rape and thrown into prison, he would have been in prison wondering, how is this going to unfold? When is it going to unfold, right? And for so many of us, I think, I don't know about you, but sometimes I want to yell at God and go, God, why did you give me the what of my purpose, but my how and my when looks nothing like my what? How many of you have been in that place? Look, I know what you're calling me to do on this earth, and I get a sense of destiny, but God, can you just tell me how this is going to happen? Can you tell me when this is going to happen? If that's you and you're watching this through the screen, or you're in another campus this morning, I want to say this to you. Don't let go of what your purpose is just because your how and when that purpose is unfolding is not what you thought it would be. Can we give Jesus a big shout of praise? Maybe you're here right now and it doesn't look anything like the sense of purpose that you had, that God gave you for your marriage. You knew that God had called you to marry that man, or God called you to marry that woman. But right now, your marriage looks so far from that purpose. I want to say this, you don't let go of your what, just because the how or the when is in question. Come on, some of you got a sense that when you were pregnant with that child of yours, you know, God gave you purpose, there was prophecies over that child, and now that child is 19 years old. Or they're 15 years old, year 10. Ay, ay, ay. I want to say this to you. Don't let go of your what. Just because the how or the when looks nothing like the what. Because your purpose in God is never canceled. Even though the how or the when looks so far from the what. Is this helpful to you guys? And you know, for so many of us, when it comes to purpose, we stop living like we're saved for purpose. Because we feel like just because the how and the when is so messed up, we feel like as time goes on, our purpose is now obsolete. We feel like it's kind of past its expiration date. We feel like it's now obsolete, you know. And the reason for that is that we live in a modern world where things expire quickly. Things, even now with technology and innovation, it ensures that the windows of obsolescence, you understand what that is? That you know, your phone was current last year, but it's now outdated this year. Come on, are you out there? That particular bit of technology that you had in your car 5 years ago that was cutting edge, now it's so far outdated. And we transpose that modern thinking onto kingdom things, but it ought not to be that way. And this is going to bless somebody in Belmont, Port Kennedy, Scarborough. This is going to bless you in Myrie. Your purpose has no expiry date. Amen. Some of you are thinking, oh, PK, you don't know how old I am. You need to hear me say this. Your purpose has no expiry date. I don't care how long you've been journeying with Jesus, but your how and your when looks a little bit messed up. Your purpose has no expiry date. Your purpose is not like the milk in your fridge. It has no expiry date. Your purpose is not like the yogurt in your top shelf. It has no expiry date. Your purpose is not like the current software in your phone. It doesn't need updating. The Jesus who comes to you the moment you were saved and gave you purpose in an inseparable way is still saying your purpose has no expiry date. We have it upon the book of Luke chapter 1, and it's a couple by the name of Zacharias and Elizabeth, and this was a couple that had been struggling with the purpose that God had given them early on in their marriage. They feel like they had been called to birth destiny. But when we're introducing them in Luke chapter 1, verse 6, it says, and they were both righteous before God, this is Zacharias and Elizabeth, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. Verse 7, but they had no child because Elizabeth was barren. How many of you know that sometimes even walking with Jesus blamelessly, walking with the Lord blamelessly, doesn't make you immune from how and when being messed up? and they were both well advanced in years. So immediately it sets up the premise for the story. Zacharias and Elizabeth had a sense that they were meant to bear a child. It was their destiny. It was their purpose. But now it looks like time has gone on for too long for purpose to be unfolded. Now the angel comes and says, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." I find it very interesting that often God will come to us when we feel like all hope is lost. Yes. How many of you have sensed that this is how God works? It's like, "God, can you come earlier, please? That would be really helpful." Like, he often waits till like it's way past the natural use by date, and then ta-da, he comes and tells you, "Here I am. Come here, come here, come here. We need to talk about these things," right? But God just has a way of coming to us when we feel that things have expired. Zacharias says this to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife is well advanced in years." You can hear the language of Zacharias. "Angel, have you seen my wife? Have you seen her recently? I have." Like, you could have come 30 years ago. Month after month, Zacharias would have prayed, "Liz, are we pregnant?" Next month, "Liz, are we pregnant?" Year after year. The how and the when started to become so messed up. It was a very reasonable retort to the angel. But the angel will have none of it. And he says this, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God." In other words, "You don't know who I am." "And was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not be able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." What did the angels say essentially? "Zacharias, I'm going to shut you up if you keep talking like this, because your purpose has not expired. And if you can't speak life into your purpose, and if you keep thinking and saying that your purpose is expired, I'm going to make you mute until the how and the when happens in my timing, because I am Gabriel the angel, and I stand before the presence of the Lord, and I represent the King, and I'm telling you today that your purpose is not expired." I want to say this to you today, if you're here and you're thinking, "PK, I am too far gone, I'm too old. You know, I could see that the college students, they were like mostly young people. That's not for me." Rubbish. I want to say this to you. Shut your mouth until you're able to say, "I am saved for purpose." It's better not to talk down your purpose. Hello. And be quiet. See, there is something very powerful when we speak life into the fact that our lives were saved for purpose. This revelation is going to cut across all everything that modern living tells you, that you are now obsolete, that you are now too old for this, that you are past your use by date, that you are no longer relevant, that you're not current enough, that you're not up there, up to the minute enough. See, when it comes to the kingdom of God, your purpose has no expiration date. Turn to someone and say, "You're saved for purpose." Turn to the other person and say, "If you're not dead, God's not done." Just COVID elbow someone across all the other campuses. Come on, Belmont, Port Kennedy, Scarborough. COVID elbow someone and say, "Hey, if you're not dead, God's not done." That'll wake some of you people up. Hello, I saw some of y'all sleeping. Look, I know that, look, Chrissy and I look at ourselves in the mirror and go, there's a few extra lines on our faces. I know you feel like you look a little older than you used to be. But I tell you what, if you're not dead, God's not done. Your purpose has no expiration date. Come on. I know some of you feel like you're moving a little slower than you used to, but if you're not dead, God's not done. Come on, hello. I know some of you now need to go to bed at 9 p.m. as opposed to like rocking out till like midnight or 1 a.m. like you used to. But come on, you are still safe for purpose. Come on, how many of you used to when you were young, you used to sneak out of your house like at 9 p.m. when your parents thought that you were asleep? You used to sneak out to go to a party? But now you sneak out of parties at 9 p.m. to go back to your own house
to be in your own bed. If that's you, but you're not dead, God's not done with you yet. Hello. Come on, if you're here today and you have no idea what Snapchat or an emoji or TikTok is, you are still saved for purpose. You're still saved for purpose. That's the first thing. But the second thing is that when it comes to our purpose, preparation must always precede purpose. Preparation must always precede purpose. We talked about Saul's radical conversion, then he became Paul. It'd be so easy for us to kind of go, this was Saul, blinded by the light, bam, bang, into the city, fantastic, ta-da, the Apostle Paul emerged. What we don't know is that from the moment that Saul received Jesus into his life, he disappeared for 3 years. 3 years, disappeared. Where did he go? He parked in a place called Arabia. It was a region. We don't know exactly where, but scholars believe that in those 3 years where no one heard from Saul, Paul, 3 years, it was spent entirely dedicated to study. Entirely dedicated to study. Entirely dedicated to preparing, to you know, shaping his life. Galatians 1 verse 15 actually gives us insight into that. It says this, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace. This is Paul, cognizant of the fact that he's saved for purpose, right? To reveal his son in me, that I might just chill out and kick back and knock back a few beers. Does it say that? No. That God revealed his son in me that I might preach him among the Gentiles. I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem. So it's this season that Paul went to that was preparatory for him. And that, so I genuinely believe that for everything that God has called you to, you need to be positioning yourself for preparation. Yeah. That's why I'm so passionate about On Track. You can't just assume that God is going to allow whatever purpose he's got on your life just to be unfolded by you waiting. You've got to position yourself to be prepared. On Track is an incredible way to get yourself on that pathway of preparation. That's why I love Nations College, because it prepares you for what God has next for you. I can't tell you or help you control your how or your when, but I can help you get on the pathway of preparation for whatever purpose is that God has for you. If you're in a season of delay right now where you know that this is what God has called you to, you understand that, but you're in a season of delay, you can't see how this is going to unfold. You can't see when this is going to unfold. It's either one or two things that are happening in your life right now. It's either you're right smack bang in the middle of a preparatory season, but you don't realize it. Or secondly, God is actually withholding unfolding purpose from you because you're not prepared for it. God is too kind to unfold purpose over your life if you're not willing to be prepared for it. Because what? His purpose for your life is too great for you to walk into unprepared. What God had prepared for Paul to write 2/3 of the New Testament was far too great, too significant for him to go from the road to Damascus to suddenly, ta-da, penning these great revelations. There had to be a season of preparation. You were saved for purpose, but preparation must always precede purpose. I remember being a young 17-year-old, just got my license, and I knew that God had called me to be a worship leader. I dreamt about it. I loved it. In fact, I made so much noise at home, didn't I, Mom and Dad? I was always playing music and making noise and singing. And at the time, when I first got my license, the church that I was a part of had just bought a beautiful grand piano, right? And I just thought, man, I just want to play that grand piano. So what I did was, like, for like weeks, I bugged the business manager at the time, Tony. I said, Tony, can you cut me a key to the church? Because I want to come down and play. And like I used to say to Mom, you know, I want to go down at night. Because I was single, right? Living at home, 17 years old, first year at uni, just got my license. I just wanted to go down at night to the church and just play the piano and play the guitar. And our mom used to feel really suspicious because she thought I was like sneaking out to see a girl. The girl came later. It was all about music at the time. The girl came later, and when the girl came, the music just kind of went down the toilet. But that's a whole other sermon altogether. But when I was 17, all I wanted to do was play music, right? And like, I would say to my mom, I want to go down to church. Remember that season I used to go down to church, and mom used to, being an Asian auntie, she'd say to me, don't waste church electricity, huh? Don't. So I would feel terrified, you know? So I'd go to church, and this is what I do. Like when the business manager finally gave me the key and I drove down to church, I wouldn't turn a single light on because I was so petrified that the church would get like a really big electricity bill, and like they would tell mom and I'd get in trouble. Anyhow, there's a point to that story. For many nights in the week, for many years of my life, I would play the piano and the guitar in pitch black. In pitch black. But that was what prepared me to play and sing and worship without looking at my fingers. Wow. And without looking at charts. And it was in those years of preparing that it taught me to read a room, to never look at my fingers, but always sense what God is doing. It made me a better worship leader from playing in the dark. It was a sense of preparatory. I didn't know that was playing in the dark was what God was doing in my heart, in the privacy of my own space, so that I would never look at my fingers. I would just look to God and be able to lead people in worship because I wasn't bound by charts or my fingers. Come on, are you out there? See, we don't know what God wants to unfold for our lives, but all we can control is a sense of being prepared, positioning ourselves for whatever it is. The how and the when is God's business, but the preparing for the what is our business. We've just recently started a ministry to children with additional needs called Heroes Academy. Now, it's our fastest growing ministry out of this church. But people don't know it's been 14 years of preparing and raising an additional needs child. Ourselves in our own home, things you do not see about our family, but God has been preparatory in our lives. Preparation must always precede purpose. If you're feeling like your purpose is tarrying, get prepared. Because there is a difference between waiting and preparing. Isn't that Matthew chapter 25? Five wise virgins, five foolish virgins. What was the difference? Five were waiting for destiny to come knocking. The other five were preparing while destiny was tarrying. And then when the bridegroom finally came, what was the difference between the five wise and the five foolish? They all had equal access to the bridegroom, but the bridegroom chose the five wise ones because they were the ones that were prepared. Ultimately, this is a big picture theology that I'm teaching you. Because Jesus is coming back, not for a waiting church, but for a prepared church. So we got to get prepared. This is why I'm passionate about On Track. This is why I'm passionate about Nations College, because my job as your leader is to prepare you for what next. My bigger job as a leader is to prepare his bride for his return. We ought not just to be waiting to get by and we're just saved from a life of hell. That's good enough for me. But I want to encourage you today. Come on. Be prepared for purpose, because the best thing we can do to live out our purpose is to be in a perpetual state of preparation. Your purpose is far too big to be unfolded with you being unprepared. Some of us are waiting for our purpose to be fulfilled, but your purpose is actually waiting for you to be prepared. Some of us are sitting around, we're waiting, God, I know you've called us to do this together as a married couple, so we're just waiting. But your purpose is waiting for you guys to be prepared. Noah didn't know how or when his purpose would be fulfilled. God said to him, Noah, you're just going to save humanity. Okay. How does that look? Well, just get prepared. So 60 years. Cutting wood, hammering nails, to build a thing that no one ever seen before. What are you building, Noah? I don't know. I think it's some kind of big boat. I want to call it an ark. What for? I don't know. I think for a flood. What's a flood? Don't know. When is it coming? Not sure. 60 years. It's time for the church to get ready. The what, God is going to speak to you about. The how and the when, I'm not sure. You're not sure. But that's not our job to control. What we are capable of doing, however, is to prepare ourselves now. Is this helpful to you guys? So, purpose has no expiry date. Preparation precedes purpose. But lastly, Do you know that your purpose is also worth fighting for? Because if the enemy can't steal your salvation from you, he will try and kill off purpose in you. It's happened so many times in the Bible. If he can't take your salvation from you, he'll try and kill purpose out of you. I think of the Apostle Peter, the disciple Peter, who walked with Jesus, and Jesus said amazing things to him. Upon this rock, I will build my church. And, you know, greater things than these you will do, Peter. Fantastic. And then when Jesus got crucified, he thought, oh man, that really screwed things up, didn't it? And then servant girls cornered him in the street corner and said, oh, I know who you are. You're one of them disciples guys that was rolling with Jesus. Maybe you should get arrested too. And he said, I don't know nothing about no Jesus. Three times he denied Jesus. So disappointed in himself that he would have thought, I'm saved, but my purpose, I missed it. How many of you have ever been in that place where you feel you've missed it? Yes. Just two or three of you. Come on. Yes. You feel you've missed it. Either life or circumstance has happened upon you, either your fault or not your fault, it doesn't matter. But you feel like, you know, I'm just going to go to church, do the church thing, maybe attend Connect Group every now and then, but I really got not much more going for my life while I'm here on earth. And Jesus shows up at the shores of his dead purpose and cooks breakfast for Peter, restores him, and essentially says this to him, Peter, do you love me? To which Peter said, yeah, I do. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Jesus, I said a third time. Peter, do you love me? Jesus, I already said. But for every single time Peter denied Jesus, Jesus restored him back. What was Jesus doing for Peter? He was saying, Peter, you need to fight again for your purpose. By him verbalizing again his commitment to Christ, he was reigniting the purpose in Peter. And Peter had to, see, if Peter had resisted the conversation with Jesus, 3,000 people would have not got saved a week later. Come on, are you out there? If Peter had resisted, see, when we don't fight for our purpose, we have no idea how much of the future we disqualify. The future generations need this current generation of church to fight for their purpose. Maybe you're here today and saying, I'm a bit too far gone. I've missed it. I've made few too many mistakes. You don't know where my life has ended up. I'm a little bit too busy right now. My life's taken a different turn now, PK. I used to be passionate about those things. I want to say this, you fight for purpose again. Because you have no idea what the next generation... See, there are people that you are yet to influence. People that you are yet... Your life matters here on earth. When you have a revelation that you're saved for so much more than just being saved out of hell, it changes not just your eternal destiny, but your earthly activity. Suddenly, everything that you're doing here on earth begins to take a different shape. It begins to take a different framework. And there's a space and a place, I feel, even in my own life, where I feel like purpose has died on the inside of me, where God has said, Ken, you got to fight for that purpose again. You got to fight for that dream again. You got to fight for what I've called you to. I know that the how and the when looks a little bit messed up right now, but you got to keep fighting again, because that what is still valid. That what has not expired. I need a resounding amen. Your purpose is worth fighting for. Musicians, you can join me. 1 Timothy 1 in closing. See, Paul knew that the next generation of leader in Timothy needed to see that purpose was worth fighting for. Needed to see that he was saved for purpose. So he writes this to Timothy. This is Paul. He's on death row. He's on his last days here on earth. He knows this because he is now under house arrest, and he would have had word that he was only maybe weeks, months away from being beheaded at the whim of the Roman Empire. And he writes this, he pens this in a second letter to Timothy. He says this, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but share with me in the suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. What am I saying across all our campuses today? From the moment you were conceived in your mother's womb, you were conceived for purpose. But because of our fallen nature, that purpose was obscured by our sin and our fallenness. But when we came to faith, when we were saved, that purpose was reawakened. And today you need to know that you were saved for purpose, that your purpose has no expiry date. Come on, hello, are you out there? That your preparation, now's the time to do it. And today, if you're in the space and you feel like purpose has died out of your life, it's time to fight for your purpose. Stand to your feet right across all the rooms that are watching this right now. I just feel the anointing shift. Belmont, Port Kennedy, Scarborough, Myrie. Just bow your heads, close your eyes for a moment. Some groups of people that he wants to minister to today. First group is that you've always been unclear about your purpose on the earth. And maybe you feel like your Christianity really is just to be saved so that you don't have to have an eternal separation from God. You're saved from hell, and that's good enough for you. But today your eyes have been awakened. You're saying, God, I want you to show me what my purpose is. Show me the what. Just begin to lift your hands if that's you right across all the rooms. Begin to lift your hands right across all the rooms. Lift your hands like you're worshiping. So good. So good. Second group of people, you feel that maybe God, I'm a bit like Zacharias and Elizabeth. I feel like the window has closed for me. And today I feel like you're touching my heart afresh to know that you're not done with me. Begin to lift your hands if that's you. I just feel this right across all the rooms as people. Don't buy into the lie that you are too old. What a tragedy. The next generation needs to see you in your latter years living your life with purpose. Begin to lift your hands if that's you. The next group of people, maybe you've just been waiting rather than preparing. Just today you're saying, God, I want to make the commitment to be that man or woman of preparation. Whatever that looks like. Whatever that looks like for me. This is not a hard sell for college, not a hard sell for on track, anything like that. You're just saying, God, I want to position myself for preparation. I want to be prepared for the next, because I know that you're not going to unfold the purpose on my life unless I'm prepared. Begin to lift your hands if that's you right across all our rooms. Come on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 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 God is going to touch you wherever you are right now. He sees your hands lifted. He sees your hands lifted. He sees your hands lifted. And if you're not dead, God is not done. There is more. There is more. If you woke up this morning, there is more. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. All worship teams, we're going to lead in this song right now as we begin to sing. Come on.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.